In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Doug and I went to the movies on Friday night and saw the Grand Budapest Hotel. It's a great movie, although it's definitely not for kids by any stretch of the imagination. But for adults, I recommend it highly. Two thumbs up. This movie was made by the wonderfully strange Wes Anderson. From the very first moment of the movie, it was clearly a Wes Anderson movie. He who made The Royal Tenenbaums, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, and Moonrise Kingdom. The signs were all there. Quirky music, odd visual images, famous actors playing very unconventional characters. When we go to the movies, we love these signs. They're sort of a shorthand way of telling us what to expect. Movies are notorious for these. Oftentimes, the signs from movies are musical. Tell me which movie this comes from. Bum, 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 bum. Jaws. Bum, 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 bum. Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Ba, 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 ba. The Godfather. It says something that all these movies are old movies. But you had no problem, and it immediately put you into that place where you had a sense of what the movie was about, right? But not only music can give us clues and signs. Some may be visual. For instance, Wes Anderson movies usually end with a beautiful slow motion sequence, taking us to a place of calm and meditation. If you see a movie that has darkness, shadows, rain falling, it's usually a sign that it's one of those films noir, like a thriller or a dark detective story. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, that sort of thing. We see a field of flowers, it's usually a pretty good sign that we're going to be watching a romance. A dusty jumble of tumbleweed rolling across the plain. Gotta be a Western. In the same way, costumes, settings, they all contribute to our expectations of what the movie will be about. And motifs, these signals, these cues, date all the way back to ancient stories before they were even written down, ones that were transmitted by oral tradition. And good storytellers know to put these signs into their story because we human beings like to have some clues as to what's happening next. And in today's reading of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and then his passion and death, signs abound. Ironic signs, to be sure, but signs. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. He's just performed a miracle, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. He's on a roll. Everyone is talking about how amazing he is. He heals, he preaches, he teaches. All the people are amazed by him. And now he is coming to Jerusalem, to the great temple, and he must make a grand entrance. So he sends the disciples on ahead to fetch him an animal to ride in, more precisely two animals, a donkey and a colt. I sometimes, in my more irreverent moments, imagine him riding in with one foot on each animal like one of those circus riders. Why two animals? Or maybe he had two because he would trade off as one got tired, sit on the donkey for a while, go on the colt for a while, back to the donkey. But notice how this is the first time he ever seems to travel any place other than by foot. And there's the sign that something different is happening. Something that really doesn't fit into who Jesus is. And anytime we have something like that happening, something that doesn't fit, it makes us just a teensy bit uncomfortable. Because often it means that something bad is coming when things are out of their normal order. Then he rides into Jerusalem, and everybody's yelling and screaming with joy. They're waving branches of trees around and putting them on the ground. They're even putting their garments on the ground so that Jesus, and even the animal on which Jesus sits, does not have to put a foot on dusty ground. But didn't Jesus just spend the prior 3 years walking from place to place? Nobody laying out a carpet of branches to protect his delicate little feet. And sometimes when he was doing that work, people were mean to him. And sometimes those pesky Pharisees were there trying to trick him with weird legalistic questions. But now Jesus is riding into town and everyone is saying he is the prophet, the anointed one, the one coming in the name of the Lord. Despite the fact that Jesus has been very uncomfortable with that kind of naming throughout his ministry. Despite the fact that he often said, "Don't tell anybody what we're doing." But now, something's different. He seems to accept the acclamations of the crowd. Another sign, the shouts and branches, just like the riding into town. So unlike that itinerant rabbi going from town to town by foot with a few disciples, now he's traveling with an entourage. It's a sign, a signal, that something's going to happen, and it's probably not going to be good. Because in every dramatic movie that we see, when the protagonist does something way out of character, when he is most applauded, we know that something bad is going to happen. He will be destroyed after he has been uplifted. We know it from our own lives, like every political candidate that we admire until we learn of their flaws, like every teenage music star who is viewed as pure and unspoiled, until their circumstances change as they age and they become troubled adults. Motifs, signs, signals that we see over and over again. And then there's Jesus. Not a political star, not a rock star. Something very different indeed. The very Son of God, the one with the power to change everything. And he knows the signs as well as anyone. He knows that this change, the crowd's applause, the branches, the ride, is a sign that the end is near, because he knows that they will turn on him just as we turn on our political heroes and our favorite performers. He sees what awaits him because he can read the signs as well as any movie critic or political pundit. It will end, and it will end badly. And as you just heard in the Passion story, it is a horror. But there's another sign, not as obvious as the palms and the acclaim. It's not part of that first reading that we did outside, the story of Jesus' triumphant ride into Jerusalem. No, it's near the end of the story of the Passion, which we just read. The darkest and most frightening story in the Bible. At the point when we are most exhausted by the listing of horror after horror, that we're no longer really paying attention. Jesus has died at last. And at the moment of his death, the curtain of the temple is torn in two, and an earthquake shakes the ground so violently that even the dead are shaken out of their tombs. A sign that something irreparable has been broken. Frightening to those who are a part of it, certainly, but also a mark of reordering in this violent change. As if we didn't already know it, those of us who have heard Jesus' story, That which was solid has been broken, so that something new can be constructed of its remnants. That which seemed permanent has been shown to be vulnerable. And yet, in that vulnerability is the possibility of something new and better. Jesus' body is broken like the trampled palm branches underneath the feet of the crowds. But out of that body, there is something reborn, not made the same as the old way, but something stronger, more resilient, purer somehow through suffering. The sign of change. Signs are all around us, giving us clues and cues to what is happening. Palms, song of praise, wails of death and destruction. But after the signs, a new set of signs. Children, new flowers, sprouting fruit trees. A new beginning is on its way. It is coming soon. Wait and watch for the signs. They're there if you only choose to see them. Amen.